What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
I need some more caffeine this morning. I had a late night last night. I was out till all hours of the night. I didn't get home till 10:30 last night.
What?
Whoa.
10:30.
That's like 3 a.m. for a morning show person.
I was barking at the moon last night.
All right, I don't know about all that.
So Hollis's school soccer team was down in Noonan last night, which is about 40 miles south of Atlanta. And when I say 40 miles, I mean 1,200 miles south of Atlanta in rush hour traffic, right? So I leave an hour and a half early to get down there, watch their game. And it's a big old game for these guys, too. Hollis's school is ranked number one in the region right now. In this school in Noonan, I think it's called the Heritage School, something like that, is ranked number two. And Hollis's team, for the last couple of years, I mean, it must be the last 7 or 8 years, it's pretty much dominated the region. They've been number one. And then they get to the state playoffs, and they've won a couple of championships the last couple of years also. So Heritage has been coming on strong the last couple of years, and they're starting to build this rivalry between the two of them. So Hollis School number one, Heritage number two down in Noonan last night. And game starts, and it's a pretty slow game, and Heritage scores. It's 1-0, and we just can't break their defense at all. And about three-fourths of the way through the game, no, halfway through the game, there's 24 seconds left before halftime, Hollis comes up limp on his hamstring, just strains on him again. He's been having problems with it for the last couple of months. And if you've ever had a hamstring injury, you know, man, like unless you rest 100% and that thing is great, It's going to be annoying for an entire season. You had one?
I've had one, and it was more than a season for me. It was a couple years. It's like you really have to let it heal completely, or it's just going to continue to come back and come back and come back.
It just doesn't go away. When these Major League Baseball players have a hamstring injury and they come back in like 4 weeks, I'm like, they're going to be out again in another couple of weeks. Anyway, so it's right before the half, and he pulls up lame with this hamstring thing, and I'm like, oh no, not again. So I'm sticking around, and again, we got to get up at 4:30 in the morning, right? And we're now in the second half, and the game seems to be going the same way that it was in the first half also. So I turn to Amanda. It's about 20 minutes left in the game, and I'm like, let's get a jump on this, man. I got to be up early. Let's take off. Let's get back home. And at that point of the night, it was going to be almost an hour ride back from Noonan. So before I get into the car, I just text Hollis, and I say, hey, sorry about the game. How are you feeling? How's the hamstring? Then I get home and I open up my messages and he goes, well, I'm not feeling all that great, but at least we won.
Surprise.
And I'm like, what? How is that possible? So I wasn't sitting in the section with most of the his team's parents last night. It was Amanda kind of sequestered by ourselves while we were catching up. And he said, I didn't think you were at the game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was there until like 20 minutes before the game ended. And it turns out that there were 4 goals scored in the last 20 minutes.
What?
Yes. So they ended up winning 3-2 last night.
Either that offense got hot or that defense got a little soft.
I will ask him a little bit more today, but I learned a very valuable lesson, man, about leaving games early.
Mm-hmm. You got to see it through sometime.
You know, I got to ask this question maybe later when we got more people listening live. Is like, what did you leave early and what did you miss? Because how many times have you been like at a Major League Baseball game and it's like the 8th inning, your team is losing, everybody's trying to beat traffic, so they leave, and then there's home run after home run after home run, and then you can almost hear the cars in the parking lot slamming on their brakes to try to get back into the stadium, you know?
Yep.
So we'll do that later. So, Kristen, tell us about how you're ticking off your Lyft drivers. drivers these days. Pretty consistently here now.
I've done it twice. If that is considered consistent, then so be it. I don't feel like I'm ticking them off. I feel like I am opening their eyes to a whole new world that is murder podcast. So I listen to true crime podcast, and there is one that I am currently listening to that is so infuriating in a good way. And I've found myself, the last one I was listening to as well, it's about these men who are wrongfully convicted and spend an ungodly amount of time in prison, and the system is working against them. It's the infuriating part is hearing about what the legal system has done to them. And so this new one I'm listening to is called Bone Valley. And it's about Michelle Schofield and Leo Schofield.
Sounds like that could get naughty quick.
No.
It's on a different channel.
And it's like, it's investigative journalism done so well. And they're trying to get Leo out of prison because he didn't kill his wife. Somebody else did. And you come to find out who else did it. And he actually confesses. And the man is still sitting in prison. Like, it's just... Oh my God. Wow. There have been so many times that I've actually, like, as I'm listening to my phone, I'm like, are you kidding me? It's just so crazy. The twists and the turns, and it was a completely circumstantial evidence. And when you listen to it, it's just bananas.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what did he do for them to make him think he did it in the first place? Was there evidence?
Completely circumstantial. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any DNA evidence. And they just, his dad said something off-putting because they were searching for her body, and he and his family found the body, and his dad said something that got police, like, made police think that he did it. And it's the fact that he got convicted and how his lawyer failed him, how the system has failed him. So I'm on my way to a charity event, and I knew I was going to have to spend, like, that Atlanta traffic, man. It was 5 o'clock traffic. So I'm like, what would take me 20 minutes is going to take an hour and 20. And so I had my phone, but I didn't have my earbuds. So I asked my Lyft driver, I'm like, is it cool if we listen to a podcast? And he's like, it's your ride. You can do whatever you want. And I'm like, well, that hasn't been the case in the past, but thank you. Now, I did neglect to mention the the content of said podcast, but for an hour, we listened to an entire episode. And right before we were getting to the Georgia Aquarium, he goes, what is that? Because it's really good. And I'm like, thank you. He goes, and so he's like, so catch me up a little bit. And then I told him, and I'm like, this dude has spent 30 years in prison.
Oh my God.
For a crime he did not commit.
Can't imagine.
And like, I'm listening to season one, and it was released in 2022. I'm about to start listening to season two. So maybe there is not, maybe he's out now, but as of 2022, listening to the first season, Leo was still sitting in prison for 30 years for killing his wife.
Dang.
And he didn't commit the murder.
Dang.
And he almost got the electric chair.
Oh my God.
Nobody wants that.
No. I mean, it's a banana story. So again, it's called Bone Valley. Gilbert King is the investigative journalist behind it. But yeah, so me and this Uber or Lyft driver, sorry, are listening to this. And I mean, it was silent the whole way we were listening to it. And when we almost got there, he was like, wow. I go, yeah, it's kind of maddening, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. Get you all fired up.
The Burt Show.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Terrence Howard expressed something I don't think a lot of people in 2025 would be brave enough to admit on a podcast, but he said it to Bill Maher on his podcast. So he was talking about how he was offered the role of Marvin Gaye. He was offered the ability to be able to play him and get to play out that storyline. And he said that there was one reason he decided not to take the role, and it has everything to do with him having to kiss a man in the film.
I'm hearing rumors that Marvin was gay, and Marvin was gay. And I'm like, was he gay? And Quincy's like, yes.
Oh.
He went around it with everything, and I was like, no. And I'm like, I could not.
I just feel like there's gay for real, and there's a point where guys get so much they're just like, oh.
Yeah, well, it would have been that, but they would have wanted to do that, and I wouldn't have been able to do that.
You mean you couldn't kiss a guy on screen in a movie?
No.
Not even, yeah.
No, because I don't fake it. I literally, it has to.
I couldn't kiss a man either. That's true. And that does not make me.
I would cut my lips off.
I think there's one, there's one way to say it and be like, oh, that's just not for me. But then to be so graphic about it, I think a lot of people have been shocked by this quote.
Well, as a guy that's got a kid in performing arts right now that is just trying to get his foot in the door, this attitude right here is one of entitlement. These are two successful guys that get to pick and choose really what their roles are. So they're like, oh, but the last part is I cut my lips off. What I do want to ask you, though, Mo, is would there be a stigma attached? Because I remember years ago when we did that wedding bit and we both had to put on wedding dresses. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a cultural difference that mm-hmm. you had to explain to us also. Does the same apply here also?
Somewhat. I think for me it was it would be the same for him, because it's like a thing in the black community where they say once you become successful, like white directors and white actors will always put you in a dress or make you kiss men when you don't really want to in order to humiliate you. And so maybe I still don't think he had to go that hard with it, but I can understand why he wouldn't want to do it.
Maybe there's just a miscommunication there also that his last name is Gay. You're playing the part of Marvin Gaye. You're not gay. You don't have to kiss an actual guy, but maybe not.
Maybe he would. I mean, Marvin was a man of many different layers, and he probably would have had to do things he didn't necessarily want to do. But I honestly don't even see how Terrence Howard would have been a good Marvin Gaye. That for me,
that's the most offensive.
Yeah,
thing.
I don't see that. But I mean, you know, art is art.
He shouldn't have even been in the conversation. Is what you're saying?
I don't see it.
Yeah. All right, Tony Busby, who is that lawyer that's representing the woman that's accusing Shannon Sharp of SA? He is saying that Shannon Sharp is refusing to see the footage that might actually not convict him, but might actually show that there was something untoward that happened between him and this woman that is accusing him of those heinous, heinous crimes. Apparently, he brought it to him behind the scenes before this is all, of course, going to court, and he is saying that he didn't even want to see the footage. So it's to me that either shows me like, oh, he knows exactly like what is in there. He's not even afraid of it, or he feels like this might actually, I guess make him bring guilt to him if he saw it.
So I think the situation here also is that he's claiming that they had a relationship where, how do I say this when I know that there might be kids listening?
There was role playing, there was fantasizing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was consensual in a way that transcended reality.
But if you take it out of context and you say, he was abusing me, if the reality for him is that it was role playing, he doesn't need to see it. He's like, this is what we were doing. This was kind of the thing that we did, so I don't need to see it. I'm just assuming that.
It makes a lot of sense because he has been so fervent about the fact that he is innocent, and obviously, like, he's not going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm guilty. But I think, in a way, like, if you know what's in there and you know that it's role-playing and it's transcending reality, then, of course, there would be no reason for you to see it because, like, you know what happened, and there would be no reason for you to have to watch it back.
He stepped away from ESPN, which I wasn't surprised about at all, because ESPN is owned by Disney. So even the allegation of this, I knew it was only going to be, like, 24 hours before Disney's like, nuh-uh, we got to pull you during this investigation. But he pulled himself off and he hasn't been on there since, I don't think.
No, he hasn't been on. I think he's just doing his own thing on his podcast that night. But he's staying away from ESPN and from doing the Shay Shay, I believe, for a little while until this all clears. But either way, this is a horrible look for Shannon Sharp.
All right, Bill Belichick's much younger girlfriend is defending her behavior during his CBS interview by sharing a bold email. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
So this is crazy. I just got breaking news on my phone. Tomorrow. It's gonna be me.
I knew it was coming and it still startled me.
wait. What is that, Katie? Tomorrow?
It's gonna be me. Going to be made tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
It is indeed.
Yes, it is.
Every year, I don't care how played out it is, it's the little things that bring me joy.
It is startling. All right, Mo, so he learned a lesson from being cheated on, or she learned a lesson from being cheated on. I wish we had both parties on here to talk about this.
I do too, actually. I wish I could hear the other side. Unfortunately, I just have to take the person's word for it, but I do wonder if anyone else knows anybody who's experienced anything like this, or if anyone it's ever happened to anyone, because I was blown away, and it was hard to believe, but I'm at this meeting, and there's some business people around the table, and this person is actually really popular in Atlanta and made me promise not to say her name, so I will not. But I think it adds some spice to the story because so many people would probably know who she is. But she starts telling about her relationship, and it started off with us speaking about, like, you know, just marriage and relationships, and, you know, sometimes cheating gets in the way, and then she jumps in and says, well, not all the time, because in my experience, cheating actually helped my relationship. And as you could imagine, everyone's like perked up and said, tell us more.
Yeah.
And how'd you tell?
Yeah, please share. So then, of course, after she gets the Mo, don't go telling everybody out the way. Like, yeah. I always hate that I'm that person in the room, but y'all know how that goes. She starts to tell a story about how in the beginning of her marriage, and this was like she'd been married successfully 10 years now, but this was in the like right after they got married. She's like, I made a mistake. I made a huge mistake. She says she went on vacation. She met a guy, and it was weird because it was right after she got married. But suddenly this guy, for some reason, in that moment, felt like everything she ever wanted in a man, like physically, his charm, his swag, everything. She's like, I'm not gonna lie. I was blown away by this man so much so that it felt like it was some kind of test almost from the universe of, do you really want to be with the guy that you just married if this guy can make you feel this way? And she felt super guilty about it, but the first night, nothing happened. She kind of went back to her friends and whatever. But she said the second night, she ended up running into him again. And at that point, she kind of felt like it was chance. And make a long story less long, they had a few drinks. Things got pretty tempted, and she fell to temptation. And in the moment, she's like, I never felt worse in my life, honestly, then in that moment of knowing I am cheating on my husband. But
Didn't stop her.
Man, didn't feel that bad.
Yeah, right. This is bad, but it's not that bad.
Right, exactly. So I guess she didn't really feel too bad at all because it was the only time that it happened. It ended up happening once more when she went back to this place a couple of months after. And she kept that from her husband for about a year. She didn't tell him. And then after talking to her family and her friends about it, they were like, "You obviously this is eating you up if you're coming to us. You should just tell him." She didn't want to lose her family. They had just got married. They just had a kid. She didn't want to lose her family. But she couldn't do it anymore. Her husband could sense that something was wrong. And finally, she was like, I have to tell you what happened. And she did tell him. And she was shocked because he processed it. She said he took about a couple days before he didn't say a word to her. Like 2-3 days. They didn't even speak. And she said by the third day, he came to her and said, I want to meet him.
What?
Oh, yeah. This goes one of two ways, man.
So that's what I say.
Yeah.
It's another true crime podcast.
That's what I was thinking. Like, do you want to fight him or do you want to meet him? Yeah. Like, what you mean?
This is another one we can bring up later on in the show where people do this and we ask them if they're happy they met with the person or they wish they never would have. And I think this was a Grey's Anatomy episode a long, long time ago. Remember, somebody was cheated
Christina
on.
Christina needed to know how I still remember their names. So Christina was with Owen. Owen cheated on Christina, and she wanted every single dirty detail about what happened. Like, she needed to know everything. Ooh. So she could process.
Yeah, man. So I think it goes one of two ways. But okay, so this guy wants to meet up with the dude.
And she tried to deny that for as long as she could, but he was like, that's the least you could do for me. You cheated on me in this marriage. Mm. The least you can do is let me meet this guy. Oh, man. And if he says no, then that's one thing. But you being the gatekeeper from me meeting him will give me grounds to leave. Like, he was going to ask for a divorce if she did not set up the meeting.
Yeah, at that point, you don't really have a whole bunch of leverage.
You don't.
If you're the one that did the cheating right. in this negotiation.
Exactly. So she sets it up, and the dude is like, cool, I'll meet him. I'll talk to him. Which
the other guy was receptive?
Yes.
That's insane.
This whole story is insane. So I'm like, really? So he's like, the dude was like, if he wants to meet, we can meet. So they meet.
In a very public place.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. They end up meeting, and the guy said, I guess she tells me that he asked him every detail, not every detail, but enough details to figure out where he lacked. Like, that was his thought process. Was he genuinely wanted to know, what was it about this guy that turned my wife on in a way that I can't? And I'm still finding it hard to process this story.
Is it that easy of a question, though? Because I'm assuming that leading up to infidelity is much more than just, okay, this is a guy that gave me a little bit of attention. He looks really hot. I'm physically attracted. It had to be years, if not months, of neglecting an area or a bunch of areas that this dude wouldn't even know about.
It's possible, but I think because of the way she told me the story, I'm assuming she told him the story the same way, and it was more like, this guy in this moment is turning me on so much that I'm going to cheat on my husband. Mm. And the husband just wanted to know, what was it about this man that forced you to make that decision?
But you also have to realize, because this is not black and white, it never is with infidelity for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it had nothing to do with the guy and it had everything to do with her and whatever she was internalizing, whatever was going on with her mentally, however she was feeling about herself. It may not have been about her husband or this other guy. It may have just been turmoil she was dealing with within herself.
I've been watching this TV show. I think it's called Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm, and his wife ends up having an affair with an NBA star. But as the series continues on, you realize, like, yeah, she's the one that cheated, but it was years of neglect that were going on. He wasn't, like, abusive or anything, but she just felt lonely, man. Like, he was so into work and he was so checked out of the family that now that he's had time to sit back and really reflect on how crappy a husband and father he was, he's like, okay, now I understand why she did it.
That's how I feel. I think it's a little ridiculous for him to go outside of himself to see, like, who caused the infidelity, when in reality it was probably whatever was happening behind closed doors that he didn't need to go out in public and meet this dude for whatever reason to see what the cause was. Like, you probably could have just found it within your own home.
I agree.
Did he get his answers? And she says the relationship was better.
Yeah, he got his answers. He went out, whatever the conversation was that they had, she said her husband came back, was a completely different dude. And he's been a completely different dude. I guess it humbled him in a lot of ways, and he's treated her better than he ever did. And she says her marriage has been better for it.
Damn. That happened with Amanda and I, and she comes back and goes, he was just tall. There's nothing I can do about that.
There's a surgery now.
So you're walking up to that table. Are you hoping this guy is like smoking in like a 10, or are you hoping he's like a 4? Like, who are you hoping to talk to when you show up? Do you want this dude to be super, like, you want this dude to be hotter than you, or you want this dude to be, like, fugly?
I want him to be fugly, and I want to be able to beat him up.
Okay.
I need both things to be true.
I can't have everything here. I want him to be super hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, oh, I never had a
chance.
You want to walk in and go, I get it.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Every now and then when I'm just scrolling, endlessly scrolling, and what's the commercial I saw the other day calling a scroliosis?
That's the first time I've heard that.
Me too.
Yeah. So there I have my scroliosis. Something will hit me where I'm like, oh, wow, that's wise. That's like a saying that I might have to, like, put on my itinerary of life at this point. So Kristen and Abby have come in with some wisdom. We'll call it Wisdom Wednesday.
I think that's a great idea. And I know we make fun of Gwyneth Paltrow all the time because of, like, her Goop website and the outrageous prices when the Goop holiday guide comes out. But she was talking to World's First Podcast, and it is Aaron and Sarah who are interviewing her. And she had advice that I thought was so spot on, and it can apply to literally any job. It doesn't have to be just for an actor, but literally any job, and not just when it comes to employment or work, but it can also apply in your personal life as well. So I just really want you to listen to Gwyneth Paltrow's words, because I think this is going to help so much with disappointment in our lives.
Very early on, I remember I was auditioning for this Woody Allen movie. It was between me and one other young woman. I didn't get the part, and I was devastated. And I said to my mom, I was so upset. I was teary. And I was like, I don't even understand. Like, so-and-so's not even that good. And she was like, wait a second. Don't you ever disparage another woman ever. She said, if you don't get a part, that just means it wasn't your part. And there will be parts for you. But don't hold on to the energy of something is yours if it's not yours. You will be miserable in life.
Wait, that's so interesting. The thought that it's yours.
I think it just kind of imbued me with this idea that what's yours is yours and what's not is not.
Lending that ideology to every category and aspect in your life, like the guy, he just wasn't meant for me. He's not mine.
That's right.
I feel like so often we can get hung up on what is ours or what we perceive to be ours, and then also harboring this ill intent or, you know, ill feelings toward the people who get it and we don't. And that's just going to fester inside of you and make you a miserable person. So, and I think it's also a lesson in gratitude and being grateful for what you have, and that, okay, that is not mine, that is theirs. Let me find what can be mine or what should be mine.
I used to work with a woman that was a born-again Christian, and she put everything into, like, you know, God terms and Christian terms. And I was talking about my kids one day, and I was saying, like, you know, when there's something in the house and we're having an argument and they're arguing about something being lost or something that I've taken away from them, and then I can always say, like, this is my house. These aren't even your things. And she used to say, as far as life goes, this is God's house. None of this is yours. It's all God's.
Well, I feel like I experienced exactly what Gwyneth went through. And it's funny because I was kind of reminiscing on it this weekend when I was in Nashville, because a couple of years ago, like, it was my dream to move to Nashville. Like, that's where I thought I was going to end up. And there were three jobs before this one that I was sure they were mine. I was like, I'm overqualified for them. Of course I'm going to get them. And then they went to another girl. And this job is kind of like an actor. Like, you have to see somebody else do the job that you applied for. And I was so bitter about it for so long. And now seeing how my life has played out, I'm like, oh, of course, like that was theirs. Like, that was the life they were supposed to go to. And I was supposed to end up here with the friends I was supposed to make and the experiences I was supposed to have. So it's very, very true that even if you're sitting in that moment of disappointment and feeling like that was supposed to be mine, it's not.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I always tell people, what's for you is for you, you know, and it goes the other way too. Like, what's for you, I don't feel like anyone can take it. And we always waste time worrying about what someone else has or being jealous of someone else. But it's like that old quote, if you focus on the window that just closed, you won't realize that the door opened behind you.
All right. That's good.
So I actually have a quote that I saw on TikTok yesterday that really made me get out the door physically. I was laying on my couch and I was just exhausted yesterday. I was like, I can't move. I physically can't do anything. And then all of a sudden, this guy named @major.smile came up and said, it's important to remember that if you're, I guess, in a funk or slowing down in life, what would your 80-year-old self do if they could step in your shoes right now?
I saw this girl say whenever she's in a funk, she gets herself out of it by playing this game with herself where she pretends her 80-year-old self is coming back to relive this day, today. And she says, get real with it. Pretend you're sitting in a chair, you're 80 years old, you close your eyes, and then boom, you're here today, living this life. And how grateful you'd be. And what would you do differently? Like, how would you live it? You'd probably have more fun. You'd probably be a little bit less worried knowing that everything was going to work out and that everything was going to turn out okay. So try that exercise. If you're in a funk, put yourself in those shoes of your 80-year-old self being able to come back to your life today and experience it from a different perspective without having the worries of everything in the future.
Easier for me because 80 is right around the corner.
That got me off the couch so fast. I was like, I want to do what only 28-year-old Abby can do, and that was go for a walk around the park. So that's what I did.
That's really good, though. When you take that look from way up top there and you're looking at your life like, okay, inevitably this is going to be the end, how would I have wanted to act? How will I act right now? That's really good.
I know, and it reminds you that every day is a little treat. Like, only do the things that only 28 or 48 or 58-year-old you can do right now.
The Burt Show.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
High maintenance people don't know they're high maintenance. That is my theory, all right? I would like to hear that from you guys. 1-855-BIRCHILL. 1-855-237-8746. If you could describe yourself as a high maintenance person, tell us what that looks like. I think we get no calls on this. Because I don't think high maintenance people know that they are high maintenance. Okay, we'll get into it in just 1 second.
Being high maintenance feels like it's so much hard work that you can't ignore it. Like if I'm a high maintenance person and I'm constantly in the salon chair, how do you not know that you're putting in so much effort to be that kind of person?
All right, let's debate it here in a couple of seconds. But if you consider yourself high maintenance, maybe Abby's right here. 1-855-BIRCHILL. We'll take your calls in a second.
I'm texting my husband right now, by the way.
Well, yeah, we're going to get into all this because that's sort of where I'm going with it. I heard an interview the other day and I'm wondering, I'd love to get from his side if he believes she's as low maintenance as she thinks she is.
Okay. I'm literally texting my husband. Am I high maintenance? Question mark.
Well, simply by asking the question, you have defined yourself as high maintenance.
I was thinking the same thing.
No. I think you could be like medium maintenance.
Yes.
You could be like somewhere in the middle of the road. Like, you know you require maintenance, but what is your definition of high maintenance?
All right, let's just go with this right now. 1-855-BIRCHILL. So what would high maintenance be? I think there's emotional high maintenance, where I don't think a whole bunch of people know that they're emotionally high maintenance. I think that there's a physical high maintenance also, that I think it takes a woman so long to get ready in the first place. I think that she doesn't even think that's high maintenance. That's just our regular maintenance.
But see, like, I'm not high maintenance when I get ready for the show, but I am high maintenance when I get ready for an event.
I think what I'm asking for is, as a general rule, would you consider yourself a high maintenance person? 1-855-BIRCHILL. The phones are not lit up, and this has proven my point that I don't think high maintenance people know that they are high maintenance.
Do we want to call my husband? Because I just asked him, am I high maintenance? Would you like to guess his response?
He said yes. I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Yes, yes.
I think he said yes, but I think this is also important to point out that it's important who you're asking. Because I think to, like, people who camp in the woods and, like, you know, run around barefoot and do grounding and stuff, they probably look at anybody who does more than that as high maintenance. Whereas, like, I look at you and I think you have a very normal amount of maintenance for a woman existing in 2025 today.
Right, but we don't know what it's like to live with her on a day-to-day. That's the thing.
It ain't no picnic, people. All right. Are you ready for this? I texted my husband, am I high maintenance? And he is a man of few words, and he responded with one word. And that word was no.
Okay.
What? Oh.
Nobody's more shocked than me.
Oh, okay.
I'm shocked.
That only means that the women that he dated before you were so high maintenance.
It is relative.
Made you look good.
It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I feel like this entire break, like, everyone, you're high maintenance, and they're going to make it that you're high maintenance no matter what anybody says.
Well, I mean, I've been with you for how many years now?
14.
And I would honestly not consider you high maintenance.
I appreciate that. I do feel like I am. It's weird because it all boils down to your definition. I'm particular about certain things. I'm picky about certain things. But as far as, like, overall high maintenance, I wouldn't think I'm a high maintenance person.
Yeah. And picky and high maintenance are two totally different things.
Yeah,
for sure. See, I wouldn't consider Kristen high maintenance because, like you said, you're high maintenance at times. And I think a lot of us are high maintenance at times. But I think people who are really high maintenance, like, I've dated someone who was high maintenance. She ain't take no days off from being high maintenance.
Yes.
Like,
it was all the time. 24/7.
Yes.
Emotionally, physically.
All of it.
She's like the 7-Eleven of high maintenance.
24/7.
The reason why I'm even asking this is Kylie Kelsey was doing an interview a couple of weeks ago, and she was on this podcast saying that she just doesn't like to celebrate her birthday. She doesn't like to go out in front of a lot of people and make speeches. Even the podcast is kind of tough for her also. And then they asked her, like, does Jason do anything for your birthday? And she's like, I'm so low maintenance. Like, I don't need anything. And I think that's why we get along so well. Like, if I'm just walking in the kitchen and he smacks me on the butt, that's really all I need because I'm so low maintenance. what I would like to know is from him, does he think the same thing?
She should bring him on and she should ask him the same question.
Yes.
But I agree. I do love a good kitchen butt smack. That's always nice.
Save
and like,
that.
Yeah. And then like my husband and I for our wedding, our eighth wedding anniversary, did we give each other a gift? No.
Oh,
I consider that low maintenance.
I think so too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Abby, are you high maintenance or low maintenance?
I think I'm high maintenance at time. Like walking in, I'm wearing a sweatshirt that was on the floor and leggings that weren't, you know what I mean? Like I think there are times where you need to be high maintenance, but my definition of being high maintenance is going above and beyond what is like the standard. And I feel like I just do what typical chicks do. Put on makeup, do your hair, work out, all of that.
I think it's funny that most of the calls that are coming in are like, I don't think so. Or I'm not sure. Heather, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. You are not sure if you are high maintenance or not.
Good morning, y'all. Kaylin here.
Thank
you. Been with y'all since 2004.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. There's so many different variables and descriptions and things of that nature in reference to high maintenance. So it's difficult for me. I like the finer things in life. I call myself the person that lives a champagne lifestyle on a beer salary.
Yeah, don't we all?
I have to get my nails done. I have to have my hair done. I have to have nice looking clothes. When it comes to somebody that I'm dating, I do expect birthday gifts, Valentine's gifts, Christmas things of that nature. But I also provide those things to the person I'm dating as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very giving and caring. And if somebody came to me right now and honestly gave me $500, it would probably go to one of my children or grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
I give pretty much more than what I take, but I do expect I expect things from the person I'm with and people around me. I don't know. I like nice vehicles. I like my home to be nice, things of that nature. I don't know if that's considered high maintenance or not.
Or leaning that way.
Well, you can have high standards, but are high standards the same thing as high maintenance?
I was having that exact thought.
If you have high standards and high expectations for everyone around you, including yourself, I think that would be high maintenance. Not in a bad way, but you like the best of the best all the time.
Okay, here are a couple of women lined up that said yes. They are saying, yes, I am high maintenance. Good morning, Mary Jo.
Hi, this is Mary Jo, and I definitely know I'm high maintenance, for sure.
Give us some examples. Yep.
I like the previous caller, I definitely want to make sure I look right. Unlike the previous caller, I don't care what everybody else looks like. It's just me. I just want to make sure that I look the best that I can. And one of the main reasons why I'm high maintenance is because I have diabetes, and that comes with a lot of crap, junk, if you will. And in addition to the makeup, the hair, the everything that I need, I also need medical supplies and the whole bit. So I know that I come with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I consider medical stuff like high maintenance, but
some people can consider it medical high maintenance.
Here's Kelly.
She's trying to live.
Kelly.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm just trying to stay alive.
She's trying to survive.
Kelly here says, emotionally, yes, I am high maintenance. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hey, Mo.
Hey.
Okay.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Queen. I'm good. How are you?
Ooh, I'm good. I definitely think that I am emotionally high maintenance. I don't think I need the shoes. I don't need the purse. I don't need the car. I don't need the house. But I do need the love. I need the respect. I need to know that I am valued.
That doesn't feel high maintenance to me.
That screams bare minimum.
The essentials.
Yeah, literally.
Right?
You think? I don't know. I feel like a lot of times women's emotional needs just aren't met.
But that's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. I think after the way you started this call, you deserve everything you want.
Well, I love you, Mo. You are my absolute favorite. And I love all you. I've been listening forever.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Appreciate
we
you
love
listening.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, Kelly.
All right, you take care now. All right, before we get into the entertainment buzz here, we have to remind you, because today is the last day, right? I don't know if you've heard about this before, but we are doing a travel raffle for Burt's Big Adventure. And for just $100, we've got three different packages for you guys. The one I want to focus on right here is the package to Walt Disney World. We are hooking you guys up for a $100 raffle ticket, an $8,500 trip to Walt Disney World. That's six nights at Walt Disney. Includes your stay at a deluxe Disney World Resort, park hopper passes. We all know how important those things are. And those are all from Wish Draws Travel. But I did a little search this morning, and the average cost of going to Disney World for a family of four is about $6,900. So close to $7,000, man. So I feel like every family wants to go to Disney World, but not every family could just spend $7,000 like that. Well, maybe you want to take a chance on it for a $100 raffle ticket with all that money going to Burt's Big Adventure. We also have another package you can choose from, which is a $10,000 trip to the Dominican Republic. Five-night stay in a private villa. And if I'm you guys, don't we all have this group of friends where, like, if I just had more time, we'd all hang out together, but you can never get them all in the same place at the same time?
I feel like that's all my friends ever. I'm like, okay, I haven't seen you in 4 weeks, so do you want to get together in London in 3 months? We all have to fly together to be somewhere.
So this is a private villa at Casa de Campo in the Dominican Republic. I have been there. I have seen these villas. I have not stayed in them because I couldn't afford it, but you and all your friends, a $10,000 trip to the Dominican Republic for $100. Thank you to Danielle and Christina Lee for helping us out with that. And then the one I love so much, man, because it opens up the entire world for you. If you've ever dreamt about traveling, you could go anywhere in the world for $100, because our friends over at Delta Vacations is giving us a $7,500 gift certificate. Go wherever you want. Wherever you want in the whole world. Let your mind go nuts here for only $100. But you got to get your raffle ticket today, because we're ending this whole thing tonight at 5 o'clock. And the way to do that is go to burtsbigadventure.org. burtsbigadventure.org. The travel raffle stops tonight at 5 o'clock.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is quickly becoming my favorite story to cover because it's so unbelievable and borderline unhinged, if you will. So I don't know if you've seen that new CBS interview with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, but it is fascinating to watch, because I think when you see a 73-year-old man dating a 24-year-old woman, everyone immediately goes, grooming, that's sketchy. But I think after that interview, everyone's like, oh, she's got the leash on Bill Belichick.
Like, she's wearing the pants in the relationship.
Yeah, the pants and maybe the football jersey and all the football helmet.
The whole thing was so cringy to watch, man. It really, really was.
I haven't seen it yet.
There's a part of the interview where literally she's like hunched over like she's his PR team. And when they ask about how they met, which is already public knowledge, they said they met on a plane, like they were sitting next to each other and he like signed one of her books. When the journalist asked, hey, how did you guys meet? She goes, we're not talking about that. And immediately shuts it down.
So what I've been doing in my head is playing this out in different scenarios. Like, you know, she's back there behind the camera monitoring the situation. Bill Belichick is on camera doing this interview with CBS Mornings, right? Sunday mornings. And so now you reverse roles. Hey, if the man was back there, the 70-year-old man was back there and the 24-year-old was getting interviewed and he shuts it down. Mm-hmm. It gives very controlling energy.
For sure.
I mean, when you do it, and I feel like it gives the same energy from her as far as like being really controlling. And it didn't come across as like being like loving and protecting for whatever reason. Cause I feel like the person that's sitting in the seat who is a grown adult, like, you need to be able to have a voice. You need to be able to speak up for yourself. I feel Bill Belichick, considering what he's done for a living, can very much speak up for himself.
For sure.
I'm not a big NFL fan, and I haven't really followed his career, but I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know who Bill Belichick is because you don't follow sports, he's generally regarded as the best head coach of all time. I mean,
in the NFL.
In the NFL, yeah. He's won 413 world championships. That's the only team that won a Super Bowl for a decade is the New England Patriots.
And I'm just watching it, and it's just giving off such weird energy, because, like, and this is my own personal preference. If I'm doing an interview and my husband's back there, I don't want him like yelling out like that. Like,
yeah.
I can handle my own business. I got this. And it's your own personal preference, because some people will see that as doting and loving and sweet, and other people are going to see it as creepy and controlling.
It also makes the whole thing look sketchier than it needs to be. Like, if you guys really met on a plane, then why are we shutting it down? Now, because she shut it down so publicly on CBS, people are now starting all these rumors that, oh, she must be a lady of the night, or maybe she's a yacht girl, and that's how they met. A yacht girl is basically a different kind of escort. And so now people are coming to all these conclusions that maybe this is really more of a business arrangement than a relationship.
I just find it fascinating because, like, what Kristen was saying, if you know what Bill Belichick is, and beyond being one of the greatest head coaches ever, if not the, like, he was always had this persona of someone who just didn't listen to anybody. He didn't listen to the owner. He didn't listen to other players. Like, he always did what he wanted to do and did it in very few words. So it's just odd to me that she even has that kind of power with him.
Well, he didn't listen to anybody else because they don't look like she does.
That's a fair point. I don't think the owner looked like that at all.
Or maybe he's at the point in his life and his career that he's tired of making choices and tired of being in control, and he's ready for somebody else. So there's another interview that gives off similar energy but different. And this, I feel like, is an acceptable moment. Do you all remember that interview that Serena Williams was doing when she was like 14 years old and her dad stepped in and like shut it down because he didn't like the questions? That stepping in for your 14-year-old, your minor child who's being interviewed, that makes sense. This did not.
Yeah, this whole thing is so laughable to me. And quite honestly, man, you're not hurting me or my family. So do live your life the way you want. But it just seems just so incredibly laughable to me. Like, nobody's ever going to take her seriously in this relationship. In this regard, if it is a real relationship, then I guess I feel sorry for her. But, man, you're not hurting my family. Do what you want.
Take age out of it. How would you have felt if you were getting interviewed and your now ex-wife, but at the time wife, was in the back, and somebody asked a question and she yelled from behind and shut it down and said, "We're not talking about that"?
Yeah, that wouldn't go over very well.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
No, that's why people are like, this is elder abuse at this point. So, and here's what... I was going to bring up why I'm bringing it up now, but on our next Entertainment Buzz, I will tell you what Jordan is saying following all the backlash she's gotten from this very public interview. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No